You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
Man, there's some things in football, I'm sorry if I'm sounding like I'm 200 years old, but at some point, on this offense, and we try to figure out what it's going to look like. First of all, I go where the money goes, and you paid your quarterback and those two wide receivers a lot of your salary cap, and that's got to be a big part of this offense overall. And the second thing that's never going to change, no matter what kind of offense you run, third and one and fourth and one, especially with a backup field goal kicker, and you're not real sure that you got to be able to get that yard. And I'm not talking about getting creative by throwing it out wide to one of your speed guys. And you just got to be able to run it. Now, my number one choice would be Ollie Gordon II. At 6'2", 225 pounds, it looked like the other night, he was like, man, everybody's hurt. I'm going to show these frigging guys I should get carries in that first game.
Can I just pose a question?
No, I'm not done. I'm not done before you get going here again about 20 trick plays you want to run.
I'm just asking you what if they can't do it?
Woody, they have to do it. Woody, this is not, well, we tried it once. A guy shot through. Linebacker shot. Look at you. You talked about this third and one and third and fourth and one and third and a yard and a half and third and inch has been a problem for a while. I know we don't run quarterback sneak. Okay. You got to be able to hand the ball off. Or why do we move up in the second round to get a guard? And why do we go out and the one guy we paid money to was the right guard? Like, you got to be able to run the football. You got to be able. I'm not saying five or six yards.
If it's just.
Oh, my
God.
Because,
Joe, you've spent. How many months now have you spent talking about the offensive line and it's
not
good and the depth and
they knew. I'm talking about the guys they have right now. Now you're throwing out a ton of things. I'm not talking about the eighth and ninth guys on the offensive line running. I'm talking about the guys they have right now.
Okay.
You got to be able to get that. You got to be able to get a yard. If you don't, it's going to be a long season.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just throw it out in the flats and go, oh, we didn't fool them. They were ready for it.
Someone suggested the Wildcat.
We don't have Ricky and Ronnie back there. Let's start with that.
You could have A-Chan and Ollie.
There's a lot of different parts. That's just That's a really not.
We'll say
idea.
A lot of these teams you're talking about, they, you know, most teams have a quarterback that can sneak for a yard. You can't run a QB sneak. It's out
oh
of the
my
playbook.
God!
It's
so now you're right.
The Dolphins.
You're right. We don't run it. We don't.
So if you
do
got
that.
4th and inches, you can't put him under center and say.
What are you trying to say? It doesn't. My answer doesn't change. Hand the friggin' ball off. Hand it off. I'm not even like Tyreek. Give it to Achan. If you want to give it to Achan. If you think the defense might be the oh, Achan's in there, they might try to get us isolated one-on-one and a little pass route out in the thing. Hand it off to him. He wants to show everybody he can run short yard. You got to be able to run it at some point. Listen, I love creativity, but at some point, creativity, you got to run between the tackles, and you got to find some guy in there and a double team block if need be, with a fullback leading through there in Ingold and get a yard. And get a half a yard.
Texas said we haven't been good at short yardage since Lusaka Polite. I was much younger then.
By the way, that was that guy was automatic. I just saw him.
But, did you?
Yeah, he was in town. That was automatic. Lusaka Polite was unbelievable.
Somebody said, I think a big missing element of the 3rd and 1 and 4th and 1 is the fact that we can't and won't use a QB sneak.
Look, would it be nice?
They know, by the way, like, here's the thing. They know the play that's coming at them. Not that it matters, but, like, they know the play that's coming on 4th and 1, which is why I think Mike has tried all these different, you know, gimmicky things, but they know what's coming. That's a handoff.
Okay.
To the running back, because your quarterback can't do it.
So, you're right. He's not going to do it. Mahomes doesn't do it. He got, remember, he almost hurt his knee. They don't let him do it anymore.
He did hurt his knee, remember?
Yeah, he hurt his knee. Yeah. He missed a game. Did he miss a game?
I think he dislocated his kneecap and missed one game.
He blew his knee out completely and missed one game.
Yeah. Well, they patched up his ACL.
Between he and the guy in Buffalo.
Yeah, high ankle
got
sprain.
A concussion and tells the doctor, shut up. Yeah. You want to lose your job? I'm going back in there. Now give me my damn helmet. Yeah, now get out of my way. I don't miss.
The same rehab program, yeah.
Yeah, and... Tua's not going to turn into Hurts.
I know.
The two best quarterbacks.
But you will admit that it doesn't help.
Yeah, but
he's the only quarterback in the NFL that can't.
That's not true. That's not true.
Well, he's the only quarterback in the NFL that you're scared every time he takes a hit. Where you're like,
okay, you switched it again. You switched the topic. You're the best at this. I can't keep up the topics. You just keep going.
He's the only quarterback in the NFL that can't take a hit.
We're talking about short yardage running. Now you're talking about him dropping back, not taking a hit. Is there anything else you want to throw in here to try to make a point? Woody, you got to be able to run the football. And, well, we can't. Okay, well, it's a new year. Maybe you can. You got to try it. The best thing they did, that first drive, they got stuffed. I was so glad. Like, keep running. And Mike goes, no, we're going to keep running. Stuffed again. Keep running it. We're going to keep running this thing. And we got to learn that we got it on short yardage and goal line. If we need a foot to a yard or a yard and a half, we got to be able to get it. And by the way, didn't get on 3rd down. Let's go. Go it again. 4th down.
There's a couple more. Why don't they change the QB on 4th and short? You can play the defense's mind. They don't really have like a running quarterback.
But that takes away when you do. I don't
think anyone's going to be like really scared if Zach Wilson comes rolling out there. So instead of until McDaniel is gone, this team's going nowhere. There you go.
There you go. There's a good one before the year starts, and he's getting ready to start as the head coach.
Someone wants to ask, are we bringing Restrepo home? I'll fire up the jet.
I saw Restrepo got cut. I'll tell you what, it wasn't from lack of Cam Ward doing everything he could, man.
Yeah. I
talked to him, and he was mini camp. I saw him at a wedding. Yeah, he's had a good mini camp, and man, you know, hopes he, you know, and it's a tough one.
Here you go, Joe. This guy says in one breath, Joe says we need to rely on our money guys, Waddle, Hill, and two. And then in another breath, he says we need to run the ball up the middle. How many times did we try and fail? Stop saying we need to. If you can't, you can't.
How do you know in a new year? It was last year, number one. We couldn't throw the ball down the field last year either. I brought up two positions. You got two new guards you brought in. You paid one the most money. You didn't give out a lot of money in free agency. James Daniels got the most. And Savia Naya, who you took in the 2nd round. You moved up and lost a lot of draft picks to move up and get him at 37. You got to be able to run the friggin' football.
Mm-hmm.
But this thing about, well, we couldn't do it the last 3 years. We can't do it again this year. And more than that, now you guys get me just friggin' fired up out of this friggin' world. Guys, we're paying two guys on the outside a lot of money. That team has said, hey, how important they go. These are franchise players. We're going to extend one and give the new one a new contract on the other side. Somebody a lot smarter than me that understands passing games and what people are doing. And the two deep has been around forever and it's not going anywhere. You work around the two deep. You got to get those two guys. Somebody smarter than me needs to figure out. A guy by the name of McDaniel, Smith, Bevel, or Slowick needs to figure out how to time up some routes and create some skinny post to deep crossing routes that they run, to corner routes, to takeoffs, to dropping the ball between a safety and a corner, and set some people up doing it, catch people in man-to-man off a blitz, all those things. We got to go to break here.
We got our first Higher Gruden text of the morning.
There you go. Hey, so I will tell you, for Higher and Fire, it's not going to happen a week and a half before the opener. No? I know that. I don't know a lot.
What about over the weekend? You don't think they...
No, I know. I know we got some Gruden Corona love out there. and we also have Fire Mike. It's not going to happen a week and a half before the opener against the Colts. I don't know a lot, but I know that. He's safe. And so is Chris. If you're on the Chris Greer thing, Chris is safe too for the Colts game.
For the Colts game. And then are we week to week after that?
No, no, not
day
for
to
a
day
while.
Or week to no, month
no.
to month?
No, week day month to day month. To week month to week. Month to month, let's month call maybe. Month to month. Maybe that. All right. Hey, listen, we've got more stuff to
you
get
sound
to
fired
here.
Up. You are fired up this morning.
I just, like, I don't want to hear excuses, number one, for the offense at all.
If you hear too deep, you're going to be upset.
Would you?
Will that bother you?
Are you tired of hearing about too deep that's been around since 1926? Guys that are. Played the game when it started. Somebody created two deep. Where two safety split the field.
Is that in the original
It's not something
playbook?
Brand new. Yes, the original one that just sold in at the card store the other day for $900,000.
I feel like I almost need to ask you, like, how did Marino do with the two deep? Just to really put the cherry on top.
He threw about 350 touchdowns against two deep.
Yeah. Someone also asked about the QB sneak with him. I guess he didn't run that very much.
I don't remember Danny running the
quarterback.
That
wasn't a big play in that time, though, was it?
I just think it counts on who you have.
Yeah.
If you got a guy that's more of a physical and a guy that's more of a running quarterback, you probably ran it. But if you had a guy that can drop back in the pocket. And
But guys are better athletes at the quarterback position now, though. Just in general, right? I mean, there's not a ton of, like, statue pocket passers anymore.
Yeah, guys are overall better athletes, yes, to your question. I'd think about it for a sec, yes. But for every one of those, you know. We had a lot of guys when I played, like Elway and Marino could have played Major League Baseball. You know, it's just, it's a different time.
I'm going to lighten the mood with some headlines when we come back, okay?
Oh, is it that? Oh, my God.
Yeah, you need to take a breather.
Well, I got people telling us that are a little soft. Well, we can't run it. So it's a week and a half before the open. You're telling me you can't run the football? How about let them try first before you decide? We can't run it. Matter of fact, we need a new coach. We're going to play the game. This is who we have. Well, we can't throw the ball down the field. Well, we could for the first couple years. And they tried everything and it didn't work.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The backups. Let's get in the backups. I think the starting five, when Austin Jackson comes back, I think you're probably like everybody else and you're good there. Larry Borum looks like he played a lot of football. He's going to be here. But after that, with Meyer and Eichenberg both hurt, who else you feel good about as a backup offensive lineman?
Well, I know Brunskill hasn't been great to this stage, but I think the time on task in the system will be useful. And I think if you had your starters in the lineup and then Brunskill had to step in to any of the interior trio spots amongst the starters and not playing with the rest of a backup offensive line, in which 60% of it in the preseason wasn't playing as the second string because either Borum was up with the ones, or as you mentioned, probably two of your top eight and two of your top three or four backups have not been participating with Eichenberg and Meyer, I think Brunskill would be fine. So I think that gives you a swing tackle in Borum. It gives you an interior flex guy in Brunskill that if he's playing with starters, I think you can get by with and feel okay. And I thought Keon Smith really saved himself there with that last preseason game, because I thought he had a pretty rough summer, but once they kind of just let him take those tackle reps in that last preseason game against Jacksonville, I thought that was his best showing. And if he's your fourth offensive tackle, I think you let him stay at tackle. I know they've been trying to push the position flex thing with him. I think you could say, okay, we're pretty invested here. Looks like he's maybe getting his footing. Let's not move him around a bunch and interrupt whatever progress he's making back from his injury.
So you still believe, getting back to what everybody's talking and writing about here in town, they still pick up a lineman or two? Would you be surprised or trade for one today?
I'd kind of be surprised just because you have this scarcity of it that exists across the entirety of the league.
Okay.
And, you know, with the ones that are available, there's red tape in some way, shape, or form. And right, the ones that aren't available are not available for reasons, because the ones everybody wants to keep. So the mystery here is what the return timeline looks like for Meyer and Eichenberg. Because if one of those guys can avoid going on a reserve list at the start of the season, I think you're probably going to look at what you have and then cross-reference with what else is out there. And unless you're going to pay it like a really big premium to go get somebody, I think you'd probably be better off rolling with what you have instead of overpaying. But we don't know what those guys' return to timeline looks like. So that's, I think, what makes it hard. But I do see a realm of possibility where they keep eight, and it's the eight that we just talked about.
All right. So one running back for sure. Now, all of a sudden, that's just because the injury bug. They're going to add a running back from somewhere, correct?
Yeah, they have to. With Jalen Wright, Mike McDaniel yesterday making it sound like his return for week one is unrealistic. Devon Achane sounds like he's on a good recovery path, but I mean, you can't dress two running backs on game day. So whether that's one of these guys that they cut in Boone and Shamklin coming back on the practice squad, I would expect that they add somebody to the 53, though. And it's going to be somebody from external. And the good news with that is I think that can, unlike the offensive line, I think you can have some pretty reasonable options for a third or fourth running back there.
We found out we're losing one of our best players last year, and Jason Sanders is going to be out a while. There's some veterans out there. What's the drop-off, and what do you expect? Are you worried about that, or can you get by with one of these vets that's been around the league for a while?
I think you can get by with one of these vets that's been around for however long it is. If he ends up going on IR with a designation of return and maybe misses the first 4 weeks, I think where you'll feel it is potentially on the kickoffs, and I think that's why it was meaningful that we saw Jake Bailey take some kickoff work with these new kickoff rules, just because your consistency with placement and putting the ball down there off the tee is really an important piece of the puzzle now. So that's where I get a little leery. And then I think the kicks from distance, where Jason really refound that element of his game after it was a struggle for a while. Anything inside of 40, you know, I think you're in a good position to get by, but those 45 pluses, those 50 pluses, I think that's where whoever you go out and get versus what Jason was for you last year is where you potentially really feel it with some of your game management and decision-making if you're on fringe scoring territory offensively.
The cornerback position, do you pick somebody up? I know they got some guys banged up there. I'm not sure where Sheffield is or Ethan is right now as well. So do you pick another guy up, or do you think they're pretty sold on the group they have right now?
I think you should always at that position be just keeping an eye on what is out there. I wouldn't make a move just for the sake of making a move. But if there's somebody, and it seems like there's really a lot of thirst and desire for these inside outside flex guys, right? That's what Cater had the appeal of being. It seems like that's what Jason Marshall, with all of his experience playing outside and now getting the work inside, and they really seem to have taken to it. I think those are the kinds of players, maybe not like a true outside corner, but they kind of showed a couple of exotic coverage rotations against Jacksonville. That's kind of a peek into, I think, why they want the position flex and guys that are comfortable doing both. So not a true nickel, not a true outside guy, but if you have a guy who is capable of doing both, or maybe is experienced doing both, or maybe they liked it coming out of the draft that hasn't hit with another team to do both, I think those would be the kinds of names that I would expect them to at least be incentivized to try to make an ad.
Well, I got to tell you, even with Grant out the other day and also missing your middle linebacker, Jordan Brooks, with the backups they had, I thought we got a good look at what it might look like in the first quarter there with Marshall, Storm Duck, and we saw a lot of Jones in there too. And it looks like they're going to go. That's kind of been the way they've been trending for more than a week now with those three guys. I guess the question is, Kendall Sheffield, where does he fit into everything?
I would be surprised if we got to a point where Kendall, and I know he got the run early in camp, I would be surprised if there's that kind of role waiting for him. Now, maybe he's the player that they chose over Mike Hilton to keep on the 53 because he can play some inside and outside and do some of those coverage rotations.
Yeah.
That maybe, you know, Mike is a later stage player. They just didn't feel comfortable with the ability to really hoof it and play out in space. So I think maybe there's a special teams bottom of the room spot for Kendall, but I think the trio that you just mentioned is what they're rolling with Storm Duck, Jason Marshall, and Jack Jones. And I think that's the group that the health willing is going to be out there in nickel every chance they get. I think those are their guys now.
Well, I'm sure you've added up your inside linebackers and outside linebackers / pass rushers. And you realize there's too many guys that have had good camps. Yep. You can't keep them all. So Who goes? I think we know the first four with all the experience and success they've already had in this league, but where do you go after that on the outside?
Yeah, it's tough because I rope in the defensive interior defensive line too, and you know, I mean, you're talking about probably 20 guys that have a legit argument in some way, shape, or form to be on the 53 with the entire front seven. And it's, do you keep five edges and six interior guys? Do you keep six edges and five interior guys?
Yeah.
Do you keep five off-ball linebackers or do you keep four? It's really tough. So I think for me, I would go with four stack backers, and it would be Brooks, Dotson, Britt, and Gay as the four stack off-ball linebackers. I think that's one of the deeper stack linebacker rooms in football. The guys on the edge, I would keep five personally based off the preseason, and it would be the top four, and then Cam Good for the special teams profile would be the one that I would keep, and then I would see which of those other guys between McClendon and Grayson Murphy and Muhammad Kamara and maybe Quentin Bell, who can I get back on the practice squad out of that group? Like, I'd try to get him back, but the numbers crunch there is brutal, Joe.
Yeah, no, it's going to be interesting to see which guys of this group, as you said, on the defensive line. So all three defensive tackles make it that you just drafted?
I think so. I think there's enough there should be enough enthusiasm for Zeke Biggers. And look, if we're being honest, a big piece of this offseason puzzle was kind of recalibrating your books, rebalancing what your long-term scope and outlook looks like. And it's got a four-year cost-controlled contract as a seventh-round rookie. Like, those are the kinds of players, if they're on the bubble, you can certainly take into account, oh, what does a vet minimum player look like for the next 4 years versus what this seventh round rookie contract costs?
Yeah.
And if we think we can develop him at all, which they should feel a lot of confidence with based of how Austin Clark has developed anybody that's walked into that building, I would most certainly be leaning into Zeke Biggers and be putting him on my 53.
One name that I haven't mentioned that I'm going back now, Cam Smith. I think he's on the team again. I think he's back as a backup cornerback. What do you think?
Yeah, I think the hamstring for Ethan Bonner kind of earned him any question of being on the bubble. I think that's opened it back up for him as far as Ethan and how long he's gone. And it doesn't seem like that's going to be a quick turnaround. And, you know, it gave Cam those opportunities the last two preseason games to go out there and play. And Mike McDaniel, you acknowledge it was late in the preseason games, but Mike said it was some of the best work he's had, and I'd be inclined to agree. So is there some positive momentum that they can roll here?
Nine lives, man. Yeah, no, yep. I got – hey, I know Omar's always, well, second-round pick that, you know, want to keep that guy around as long as you can. But, man, it's going to be interesting to see what happens. Any change of quarterback or you like to – have you seen enough out of your second guy to go, okay, I feel good, and we'll go from there? What are your thoughts on where we are with Zach Wilson?
So I don't really have a horse in the race as far as who's the two. I think you can interpret the preseason film in a number of different ways and who's playing with who and what the level of competition looks like and decision-making and timing versus making the right decisions and like that, it gets very muddy. What I appreciate about the room and how it is right now is the two guys that are behind Tua Tagovailoa are guys that have been with you for the entire offseason program.
Right.
And you compare and contrast that to last year when Skylar Thompson went down in week three and it's Tim Boyle and it's Tyler Huntley who they signed in September. And he's playing 2 weeks after he signed in Miami. And he's the starting quarterback on Monday Night Football against the Titans. The fact that both of these guys have spent the entire offseason program, whoever they want to pick, go ahead, pick one of them. I'm just glad that there are two guys that were here and they stayed, and they're presumably going to keep them both because you got, again, a seventh-round rookie contract, and you got a guy that you gave all the guaranteed money to be here this year. Now, if somebody comes knocking on your door and offers you a draft pick that's too good to be true, we can have that conversation for Zach Wilson, and then you can maybe look to sign Kyle McCord, who got cut by Philly this year as a rookie out of Syracuse. But I don't think that's going to happen, so I'm going to lock and load with the three you got.
I agree. Hey, last one. If there's one rookie, and by the way, the rookie class looks like we have a lot of guys, five guys I got either starting or playing a lot of football on offense and defense, but I do want to ask you about one of those five guys. Ollie Gordon II has earned, in my opinion, not only a chance because of these injuries, obviously, to get some carries in that first game against the Colts. You agree?
I mean, Joe, I think he's shown in the preseason he's an embodiment of all the things and talking points that are narratives and
that's right
storylines about the Dolphins that you don't have enough of, right? You don't have a physical running presence. You don't have physicality in your offense. You can't run between the tackles. This is what this guy does.
Yeah.
And he's looked outstanding. And I you were up on your soapbox on some clip I saw on social media talking about that rep he took in pass pro where he took that hit off of Tua, stepping up, taking that linebacker running through. And I think you're on the money. And I think that running back element in pass protection, do I expect it to be perfect for Ollie right away? No. It's preseason reps. You're going to get when you're playing for keeps, and it's going to be a little different. You might make some mistakes, but they don't really have a back that's proven in pass protection, and that guy was Raheem Mostert last year.
Yeah, and so, by the way, his runs are just physical. I mean, the sound you hear when he hits a guy after a carry at the end of it just unloads his shoulder pads. It's just
yep.
Yeah, so hey, Kyle, thanks, man. I kept you a little longer to get through this whole thing. I really appreciate it. A lot of good stuff this morning, man. I can't wait to see what's going to happen today. It's going to be a fun day to see what's going on.
Yep, be sure to buckle in. We'll get this 53 at 4 p.m. and then see if we get any waiver claims tomorrow.
Yeah, sounds good. Hey, Kyle, thanks.
Thanks, Joe.
All right, Kyle Crabbs, Locked On Dolphins and NFL analyst for A to Z Sports. We're going to go to break here, run a little bit too long. We got a lot more stuff.
Well, yeah, in terms of reset, it was just talking about the money philosophy and spending and stuff. But like I told you, that we were always going to try and win this season. It's all about winning in 2025. It was never going to be a step back. I think you guys have been around the players and in the locker room and talking to players. It's been a little different down there in how they've approached things. And we saw it from day one in OTAs. Like, the offensive and defensive groups would stay out on the field on their own, which I'd never seen here in years, for like an hour after OT as a group by themselves in their own time, walking through stuff, going through, holding each other accountable. You know, the stuff you saw like in the joint practices where our guys getting on each other about competing and stuff, that hadn't happened here in years. So it's a different mindset, you know, led by Mike, that we talked about right from that last team meeting at the end of last season when he told them what it was going to be. And it's been that way, and the players have responded incredibly. So we're excited. We're going to try and win as many games as we always can, and we feel good about the group and what it could be, and so we'll see how it plays out.
All right. All right, Woody, you got me on that one. Woo, man, we got a lot of stuff. Good morning to everybody, and ready to go here this morning. That was Chris Greer, general manager of the Miami Dolphins, talking about a reset and everything around it, and I like this team and all those things that we haven't been doing. And I don't have a lot of good things to say today, and so I do want to start with – for me, with Chris Greer, I don't think he's done a good enough job. I mean, let's just start with that. There was a lot of stuff said yesterday. We're going to play some of it for you as the show goes on. And look at whatever you think of him. And I know Dolphin fans, most of you, even the super positive ones, are always disappointed when we come up short year after year after year after year. And I'm with you, by the way. I'm with you probably as much or more. And I always say our fans take losses hard. I see it after games. I walk out with fans. I park in the middle of fans. I don't have a special parking spot, and so I get to hear it. And same people come up to me now knowing what my routine is and hit me from the time I'm going down the elevator to the time I jump in my car. And sometimes I sit on the side of the car, and fans that, after a couple of cold ones, like to vent about things that are going on and names. And Chris Greer is a general manager. At the end of the day, everything starts and finishes with him. He runs football. His title is the highest on that side of the building. It is. I know Brandon Shore's over there and reports to everybody and you know, can talk to the owner and Tom Garfinkel to give you a little breakdown of all the things. But when it comes to the football stuff and what we can do within the amount of money you have. Now, listen, we blew it out last year. We did. We spent a ridiculous amount of money. When they did that, I think everybody in our business knew, like, uh-oh, you can't do that every year. That was it. They blew it out last year trying to win it and extended contracts and gave out big contracts and a quarterback and two wide receivers and a cornerback got extensions. Or if you were pouting last year, you probably got your contract is pretty much what happened if you're a good player. So they did. They dished it out, and now, of course, they're coming back going, well, we can't sign this guy. We can't get that guy. And so we had gone cheap on, you know, all these things. The media has done a great job of explaining a lot of stuff, whichever guy you like and or even don't like. But they're on to it. They're on to this whole thing. And I watched this thing over the years now and have been here since we actually won some playoff games. I've been on this radio station, most of it. And been able to talk about every win and loss and lack of playoff success and everything else that's taken place. And I'm just trying to lead you up before I jump into this thing. So I heard Chris talking about this is the first time in 4 or 5 years he's seen guys stay around and enjoy. Like, well, how do you let that happen? Like, what you're picking the frigging guys. So now we switch it around and. And now everybody's coming out. I heard the players yesterday say, man, this is a great physical camp. This is what we needed. Okay, well, why'd this take so long? What have we been doing? Guys weren't sprinting out of here before, after practice to get to the deli for a sandwich. I mean, what are we doing? So anytime I hear, yeah, I've been the GM and I've sat back and watched it, like, well, hey, what point do you step in there and go, hey, man, finally, this is the way it should look. You've been a GM for a while, and now finally, now the guys are staying around and acting like they like each other and all that stuff. So it's been a real crap show around here before this year. It was really bad last year, and I get it. Jalen Ramsey's a big part of it. The F you guy, and screw you, and don't talk to me, and that's not my job to worry about that guy, and all those things that Jalen Ramsey was all about. He was about, I'm really frigging good. You go out and get a whole bunch of guys like me because when it's all said and done, I'm going to rank as one of the best at what I do. And listen, this behavior he had, before we start giving him money, everybody knew what he was like. I sat up with the Jacksonville guys, and they were laughing. They had him. They had him from a young, talented guy, and as he got better and he got the money – and then he won out. And then the Rams saw it. And everybody, oh, we got a great bargain on that one. He's a chemistry destroyer. Besides being a great player. And was a really, really good player. And is still a good, solid player. I'm guessing. And we'll see as this thing goes on. So anyway, they're calling it a reset. Now, I don't know if a reset is related to a retool or a rebuild. Somebody would have to let me know if they're all cousins. Are they second? I have a whole bunch of cousins. What do you sound like? First cousins, second cousins? But anyway, he hit us with the reset. But he said, now, we got enough talent to win on this roster right now, and it's always about winning and all those things. And we want to let our fan base know and – he understands the frustration, and he's frustrated. Look it, man. It's not personal. It's not, Chris. It's not personal. But your job is to find players to help build this thing. At the end of the day, coaches aren't making picks, and if they are, shame on you. Shame on you if they're handpicking what your roster looks like. I get you work with your coaches and your coordinators to put together a team. There's a lot to get to. We added some more players. We'll get into all that stuff yesterday. By the way, the media was right on target as they pick up another cornerback. Juju Brents is now on the team. waved off from the Colts and former second round pick, 25 years old, a long zone cover corner. Everybody says, again, a perfect fit for what we're doing here, along with what they're saying about Rasul Douglas towards the end of his career, the same stuff. So now we got three since camp started. We've now added on our six cornerbacks, three of them are brand new guys on this roster. So that's where we are. Jeff Wilson, practice squad, probably going to get called up. Kendall Lamb, yes, they weren't. Omar, you're right. They didn't feel they had enough, and they were scared to death. And by the way, I don't know if it's Larry Borum on one side or it's going to be Kendall Lamb on both sides. He's done a nice job as a backup tackle here. It was a great get. I don't know what went wrong with Philadelphia, if it was too much of a different style of run blocking and that stuff. So anyway, they let Kendall Lamb go. The Dolphins pick him up. Riley Patterson is going to be the kicker. So those were some of the moves filling up the practice squad yesterday that happened. And by the way, they may not be done. They're put in on the waiver wire and maybe hoping to get some more guys and see what happens on everybody's roster again today. So anyway, here's Chris Greer on the secondary.
Well, there's a number of people in this room, including me, have raised serious concerns about your secondary, mm-hmm. especially your cornerback position. Do you think we're making, to borrow your phrase, do you think we're more concerned about it than you are?
Oh, you're turning it on me, huh? Coach Weaver and Mike have been, very, honest with you guys about it as well. We feel good about the room, adding Rasul Douglas in to the group. We feel was good. We've been talking to him throughout the summer, as most of you guys have known. Getting Minka added to the group was huge for us. Some of the young players, their young corners, they have opportunities now to compete and make plays. I will tell you that Cam Smith is going on NFI today, so that's a little bit of a change. And also where we are right now, we're probably going to be aggressive here through the claims here this week today too, to make hopefully get a couple other players at positions and add them to the roster. So we feel good about that group. They've competed. They've done well, all spring and summer battling. A lot of the stuff that we're working on are not things that they're going to be doing in regular season games. You're not game planning, showing things to teams. So it was good to see them out competing and working. And we've been very happy with it. And I know you guys have heard some of our receivers talk about how the guys have done a nice job, throughout camp and stuff. So now listen, they're young. Some of those guys are young. They got to prove it. But we're excited about what the potential could be. But they have to do it now and for real starting next Sunday.
All right, so first of all, there ain't no we in GM, just so you know. There is no we in GM. There's not. There's no we. This is not like from the equipment manager to who's running the field up to Chris Greer and everybody in between. There's no we in GM. There's just not. So I'm hearing a lot of things. Hey, we're looking to add more guys, to be honest. We're checking the waiver wire. You don't go around checking the waiver wire on a 53-man roster if you like what you have on there. That's common sense. And we're looking to get more. We love this group, but we're looking to get more. Can be both ways. Now, before you made these moves, you guys were over there saying, oh, no. And I get it, man. It's a positive. And I wouldn't be ripping any of the guys on the team during the time. And like I get it. When you go in meetings at night, you go, hey, Anthony Weaver goes, I don't have enough at corner, man. I mean, I'm saying all the right things, but we don't have enough. We need more. And that's why you got a Rasul now here. Rasul Douglas, 30 years old. And you're looking for upgrade even the young guys. And now on top of that, and I'm real careful on this. Believe me, when it comes to mental health, I can't tell you enough. I don't joke about it. It's not funny. Been through it. And whatever Cam Smith is going through on his non-football injury list, I'm just going to leave it alone. Obviously, there's some things there. Once again, another year. I don't expect he's going to play for this team, not when you keep adding all these guys. And one of the reasons is because your second-round pick, your first pick just a few years ago, has just had some things he's got to work on. And that's it. I don't want to get into, you know, if you've been out there, you've seen his body language, you've seen the injury. I think there's a disconnect on some things. And, you know, I'm just real careful not to, to rip guys that are going through stuff. And I don't want to be that guy this morning and should have probably done a better job on part of the draft of going through that process in South Carolina and trying to get more information than we did, to be honest. And so anyway, and again, that all goes back to the general manager. It does. Like, guys, I get it. Hey, man, it'd be nice right now if we're to be real honest. If we hit on a first and a second round pick and I was talking about Noah Igbinoghene on one side and Cam Smith on the other, as a guy you took in the first round and a guy you took in the second round with your first pick in that draft. I wish that would have worked out, but that's not the case. So we go through. So just so you understand the bigger picture, and you're not going to hit on every draft pick, and I know it, and I've had people in the organization tell me, hey, nobody. You make it sound like ones and twos are automatic. Everybody misses on ones. And you're right. You're right. There's no question about it. It's just when we look at the big picture, we can't get to where we want to, like win a playoff game as we're getting ready to set a new start. And I do believe our front of the roster is good enough to win a lot of games. I do. I don't think we're going to win five or six games. I don't. But it would have been nice, right? If we had those guys, you go, hey, man, one's 24, one's 25 years old. Isn't that amazing? Iggy's only 25 years old. Feel like he's been gone for a while. Part of the Tua and Jackson draft. So, hey, look, you hit on those guys, it would have been nice. But not now you got to go through all the other stuff that we've gone through with the drama, with the guy that we had to come in knowing there's some issues with him. Not a great team guy, but a great player. And we saw it. We knew that stuff. If we didn't, we got to be the dumbest group of guys because Jacksonville has been sitting back laughing at everyone about this, and they got their own problems. So, anyway, yeah. I'm by the way, I'm just getting started. I'm just getting started on this. We've got
more. Yeah, I know we got a lot to go. I'm just curious, like, your bird's eye view of this thing. Like, how do you think Chris did yesterday? Because I know last year's press conference was a complete disaster, and
I
we're
just
playing all
say,
that stuff back during the season and stuff. And
I don't think Chris is at his best during these press conferences. I don't think it's a strength.
Yeah,
I just don't. He knows stuff, says stuff. I think Ann tries to coach him up the best she can. Like, hey, Ann's up on everything. I think she's really good at the communication business and says, Chris this and Chris that. And listen, he came across on some serious stuff. He's not a bad guy. He's just not a bad guy. And by the way, for any of you idiots out there that send emails to him about you want him to die or the cancer stuff, like, seriously, I'd punch you in the face if I saw you. Like, who does that? Seriously. You can disagree. You can be frustrated. You can say he's not very good at what he does. You can say he sucks. You can throw a couple of curse words in there, but come on. You take it personal with family. Come on, man. You're better than that out there.
If those games are that serious to you, you probably need to reevaluate life, I'm guessing.
That's a great point. Right? That's a great point. Look at man.
And
it's
at the
sports.
End of the day, I know people get fired up here too and everything, but it is, yeah, it's a game. It's a game.
Hey, I get the losing, you know, and I always say the Dolphins, the way they play kind of affects the mood of South Florida sometimes. It does.
Yeah.
Monday, and I see it around. But at the same time, in the bigger picture, like what happened yesterday again with another shoot, or how you're doing, or how your job's going, or how your family's doing.
Yeah,
Dolphins have nothing to do with that. Yeah,
should not affect you like that. And by the way, I don't
think
anybody wants to win any more than Chris Greer.
Oh no,
he wants to win is worse than any of these Dolphins fans do. Joe,
Chris,
his legacy, his life. Like,
you're exactly right.
He's not getting another job like this.
No,
this is it.
I'm sure Chris is aware of all this stuff. Yeah, man.
And he's not a bad guy either. Like, that's the other thing. He's not a bad guy. He's not a mean-spirited guy.
So I know him.
I don't get how people get off doing that.
I know him,
stuff,
and I want to say all that stuff. And you can, you know, it's easy, and you can do the hit and run with us because you guys do that too, and that's fine.
This is a better place to vent than to send, you know.
No. This is. But I'd rather you send it to us because we're not going to use it, and we can read it at the same time and shake our heads. But, like, anybody goes out of their way to find his email and send him something that he can get a hold of. Come on, man. Sergi,
that's not good.
I'm guessing if you're doing that, your own personal life's kind of crappy too, because that just sucks. Anyway, hey, we got to go to break here. We got a lot more stuff to get to here this morning. As the Dolphins roster made more moves yesterday, and it sounds like, as you just heard from Chris Greer, we're not done. Love our roster. Well, you can't love our roster and keep adding more pieces to it on the 53, but I get what you're trying to say. I got to tell you, though, the part that just, like, hey, I've been watching this thing over years, and, you know, guys don't seem like they like each other, and they're leaving early. Hey, those are guys you're getting, man. You're the one standing next to them when they're signing those contracts and drafting them. Maybe we need, what's that thing they used to, we need gym rats, man. Who started that gym rats? Where was that? A Parcells thing? We need gym rats around.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Philosophy and spending and stuff, but like I told you, that we were always going to try and win this season. It's all about winning in 2025. There was never going to be a step back. I think you guys have been around the players and in the locker room and talking to players. It's been a little different down there in how they've approached things, and we saw it from day one in OTAs. Like, The offensive and defensive groups would stay out on the field on their own, which I'd never seen here in years, for like an hour after OT as a group by themselves in their own time, walking through stuff, going through, holding each other accountable. You know, the stuff you saw like in the joint practices where our guys getting on each other about competing and stuff, that hadn't happened here in years. So it's a different mindset, you know, led by Mike, that we talked about right from that last team meeting at the end of last season when he told them what it was going to be. And it's been that way, and the players have responded incredibly. So we're excited. We're going to try and win as many games as we always can, and we feel good about the group and what it could be, and so we'll see how it plays out.
Chris Greer, reset to, hey, don't give up on this team. We got a chance. We like this roster. We are going to have some more new players coming in. We got to build it with young guys. You can't keep paying a lot of high guy, a lot of Tuas and Austins and Noahs and all the other guys that they paid through the, I missed on half those names, Tyreek and Jalen.
I agree with Chris. I agree with Chris this. I like this roster. I like this roster. This roster, but this should have been done 2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah, so you're right.
You can't go with
I agree.
You can't go with let's get these veterans, let's get these guys, let's get the big price guys, and then that doesn't work, and then you turn the page, which they did, and now you've got from last year's draft to this year's draft and moving forward, you're going to have a nucleus of really good young players. But you're not going to put five rookies starting in a season on opening day and expect to win the AFC East.
Yeah.
You know, and the expectation to me has got to be at least win the AFC East, let's try to nose in, let's try to sneak in and get a wild card. So I think I agree with the direction they're going.
Yeah.
But this direction should have been done 2 years ago.
So the only thing, and listen, I'm a little down on the GM, and I have been openly.
Oh, really?
For a while. I just want to say this. Like, I listen, and a lot of people like you liked what he had to say. Omar said, I like what he had to say yesterday. I just listened to everything. I listened last night. It was a 30-minute interview. Like he's talking about, wow, this is the way we want, and we haven't had this around here, and guys like each other and are playing. And I'm like, well, wait a second, man. Now, Omar disagrees with me. You drafted all these guys and free agents that you do background checks. You don't just take guys because of their numbers. You do background to see what kind of guy do they fit in. And you know a lot of people. Chris has been around, and his people that work with him they've been with Chris a long, long time. Chris, it doesn't look good when it looks good the first part. He goes, oh, we love what we're seeing right now. We haven't seen this before. Like, guys – didn't get along and we're leaving early, and I'm like,
well, fix it.
Yeah,
fix it.
What are we doing about? That's like talking about being late. Nobody wants to hear about being late, man.
Well so here,
like, you, it's your job if somebody's late to do something.
So let's look at this draft. Let's look at this last two drafts.
Good drafts.
Let's go back 3 years. You drafted Cam Smith, and he's off the roster now. I think they just bumped him yesterday.
Tindall and Smith were your highest picks class drafts.
Yeah, so come on. I mean, you know, so you hit on some guys really good. You know, last year was good.
On some guys throughout.
This year was really good, and who knows what's next year. But again, you know, it's kind of the cows are out of the barn. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It always seems like it's, well, we didn't get it done. We didn't know, but that this year, this is what we finally wanted. This is what it's supposed to look like, and the whole thing. And I mean, Bo,
look, I
one agree. Of the things he's talking about, Bo, is that these guys like each other.
Well, I agree with that. And well, I agree,
our guys
and,
all liked each and, other and every I, year. It and, wasn't and, even
and,
a question.
And I agree with the fact that this year you can see guys are being helped. You know, holding guys to a higher standard. You can hold a guys to a higher standard doesn't mean it's gonna play out in the field. Now, we don't know. We could be surprised by this or not. But, you know, like the example he gives, Terrell Dotson and Jordan Brooks. Jordan Brooks in Chicago, they're fighting he's fighting with Terrell Dotson on our own sideline. The Bears are going, what the hell? We're you're supposed to fight with us, not your own. Yeah. But
I didn't have a problem with that.
No, but that's what it was. Jordan Brooks saying, "Hey, you need to play better. You need to do this better."
Right.
Which is, I think you need that stuff. And I think our guys, when we played, would have done that same thing. And it would have been taken, you know, okay, yeah, let's. But I think that's a different. I know it's a different personality of guys they have, but again, why wasn't this? You know, you had guys that you gave a lot of money to, and you signed a top rate defensive coordinator, and you had guys that didn't like him, so you chose the guys that didn't like him over the defensive coordinator, and all he does is go to Philadelphia and wins a Super Bowl without ever blitzing the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, you know,
but by the way,
who holds that weight?
So the Jalen Ramsey thing, which he's done and he's gone and it's over. But like when you decide to give him an extension, you didn't know what he was like.
Yeah, right.
Everybody knew what he was like. Jacksonville knew what he was like.
Yeah.
They were talking, hey, the Jalen Ramsey, I guess you guys kind of found out, huh?
And not only that, what about the Van Ginkles and the Christian
Wilkins? Said he couldn't afford them.
He
said that. Yes, he couldn't afford it. Can't afford all my good draft picks.
Well, maybe you chose the wrong ones to give the money to.
Say maybe give it your draft picks and not give all the money to guys that you had come in from other teams.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, it's just me.
Well, anyway, hey, listen, he called it a reset and flipped it and said it's not only a reset, but we think we got a lot of good players to win a lot of games. And Bo, we are going to find out starting. Hey,
look, you got a good opportunity
next Sunday.
You got a good opportunity to come out of the shoes quickly.
You got a good chance to go 2-0.
You got to beat the Colts, right? You got to beat the Colts. You come back here and in New England, you know, New England's going to be vulnerable, and then you know, everyone knows Buffalo. Hey, look, if you beat Buffalo, and then you're high. But you know, obviously,
let's go one game at a time.
Let's go, and then, but then you come back. And you got the Jets. The Jets who are kind of trying to find. Oh, so it's got to
get not, after
it's,
them
it's,
too.
It's not unreasonable.
I know
to
what
think
you're thinking. Three,
that this
three
team
and
could
one.
Go 3-1.
Yeah. No, I'm
but this team could easily. This team could easily go.
Not going
1-3.
7-0.
You know,
he lost a lot last.
People
year.
People were asking for 7-0 Bo on the text here this morning.
Well, you know, 7-0 Bo went the way of Tyreek out of the season in game two. That's where 7-0 Bo went. I was 1-for-1 going into game week two.
Why don't we go 1-0, Bo?
You stopped that 7-0 when Tua like went down and all.
Well,
of a
I didn't
you're
stop it.
Seattle.
I didn't stop it.
Skyler in Seattle was not a good match.
Who did he throw his head into in game two? Was it Tennessee? Where was it? Who was game two? I don't know, but anyway, that game two became the end of 7-0, Bo.
Yeah. that came to a screeching halt right there. That was done. Yeah. So anyway, hey. We're going to find out, man. I would really like to know, and I'll never know, and Bo, you'll never know, is Stephen Ross. Dude, you think they ever apologize to him? Yeah, anybody ever when they spend all his friggin' money to – it's never been about money for Mr. Ross.
Yeah.
And he keeps them.
Yeah.
What did they say to him? Like, oh, I got a great relationship with Mr. Ross.
Yeah.
That's great you have a great relationship. You should.
You know, I don't know Mr. Ross from his real job.
Yeah.
You know, from the real estate guy, the builder.
I'm
the
guessing
guy,
he didn't get to be that wealthy by being soft on guys.
Exactly. In fact, you remember a couple years ago, they brought a bunch of guys up to his office. It kind of, you know, some of the team to see what he did.
Yeah.
And they were in meetings and stuff like that. And I heard guys come, guy, man, that guy in the meetings. He's the real deal, man. I mean, he's not.
This is
not,
his world, and he's a badass.
I got 10,000 windows sitting here, and they should have been up yesterday. You know, and they're getting that kind of. So I gotta assume that from the football standpoint, there's got to be some of those, you know, come to Jesus moments when, hey, what the hell's going on here?
I stayed with you another year.
Yeah.
And what are we doing? What's the plan? By the way, I don't care what anybody says. Somebody told Chris Greer, we're not spending money. You blew it out last year. We're not doing it again. We got a mess to clean up now with all these guys with dead money that we're going to have. We have to do it a different way. So we went cheap on a lot of free agents. We need some of those guys to play. We're counting on some of those $2 million a year guys to to play really well. And then that young class of guys that we've been talking about and how important they are and the guys that you've added, and that thing may not be done at this point. Juju Brents comes in, cornerback off waivers from the Colts. And our boy, Anarumu.
Yeah. Lou Anarumu.
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 I drank so many beers with Lou the other night. Well, not the other night, a few months ago.
Yeah. Lou's good. Yeah.
He's defensive coordinator
there
now.
I think I was dancing with him at one point.
You could have been
I was dancing with
Darren. I don't know, but I was out there. You were out there. I was laughing my ass off watching you dance. Then you got up. That made all the rest of us had to. You're out there, yeah. And you're doing it. Kendall Lamb's in now. Back up. By the way, that's a good guy to get back.
I'm fine with Kendall Lamb.
Oh, yeah.
I'm fine with Kendall Lamb.
That's an upgrade to the backups.
No doubt.
Riley Patterson comes in. Jeff Wilson, probably practice squad, probably going to make his way up to the active roster for the Colts next week. And there may be more
coming
on the way.
Well, we kind of knew when you looked at that roster, especially the secondary, that some was going to have to. You couldn't really go in with that. You know, I mean, look, had Ethan Bonner not pulled a hamstring,
but I don't think that was going to be it anyway.
But I'm saying you might have gone into opening week with two undrafted free agents starting on your and one Storm Duck being the cornerstone.
Yeah,
of your group, right?
Well, I'll tell you what, that all of a sudden has changed, though, with three new faces going to be there. I'm dying to see what's going to look like with everything next week. All right, we got to go to break here. We've got a lot of stuff. Kim Bocamper's with us this morning, talking about a lot of different things. Went all over the board here and talking a lot about Chris Greer, 30-minute press conference yesterday, and where this team is right now. We'll be right back.
Well, yeah, in terms of reset, it was just talking about the money philosophy and spending and stuff. But like I told you, that we were always going to try and win this season. It's all about winning in 2025. It was never going to be a step back. I think you guys have been around the players and in the locker room and talking to players. It's been a little different down there in how they've approached things. And we saw it from day one in OTAs. Like, the offensive and defensive groups would stay out on the field on their own, which I'd never seen here in years, for like an hour after OT as a group by themselves in their own time, walking through stuff, going through, holding each other accountable. You know, the stuff you saw like in the joint practices where our guys getting on each other about competing and stuff, that hadn't happened here in years. So it's a different mindset, you know, led by Mike, that we talked about right from that last team meeting at the end of last season when he told them what it was going to be. And it's been that way, and the players have responded incredibly. So we're excited. We're going to try and win as many games as we always can, and we feel good about the group and what it could be. And so we'll see how it plays out.
Dolphins general manager Chris Greer there. It is time to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Shop over 2,000 Toyotas on sale at one location, Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. ToyotaofHollywood.com.
All right, thank you, Woody. Omar Kelly, Miami Herald Dolphins columnist. Look at Omar. Whatever you think, Omar has been all over some of this stuff, and he was right on the money when they were going, no, we like this roster. It's great. And all these things. And come to find out, they added some more guys yesterday. And he's...
Baby, I need you to be quiet.
Chris Greer, is everything okay? You all right, Omar?
Yeah.
All right, man.
No. My toddler's... I'm sorry. My young child, my young daughter's in the car.
Hey, Omar. So. Yeah, that's okay. Listen, we appreciate you coming on. I know you got your daughter with you. And thank you for doing this for us. The weird part about this thing with Chris talking about the great chemistry, and he hadn't seen this. What are you saying? You're overseeing this thing. This is the first time you've seen it. When he says stuff sometimes and it comes out as great, like, you ought to see us, man. We've never had this before. And you're like, why haven't you? They're the guys you drafted and that you signed through free agency. Now we're having it. Anyway, what were your thoughts about yesterday?
You know what? I don't think Chris has any control over how the team interacts with one another, or how the team, you know, works. What he does have control over is, for instance, making sure that there's a veteran in the room. One of my major concerns about the cornerback unit, and you know this, Joe, was that the blind was going to be leading the blind, like nobody in that room knew how to study film or knew how to, you know, or break down a wide receiver, and nobody was in there teaching them. You know, yes, there's a position coach, but he's got 2 years of experience in his under his belt. Like if there was maybe a Sam Madison in the room, I would feel a little bit more confident. But, you know, it was the blind leading the blind. So they add Rasul Douglas. That helps. But, you know, there were instances where, and I'll just give you the specific examples that I know. The bad guys in the locker room where Jalen Ramsey's a mercenary. Jordan Poyer's heart was always in Buffalo, you know. So literally, even though he's a Dolphins player, he's acting like his teammates are his own enemy. You know, he comes in and he basically says, yeah, you guys are soft. No, it's not you guys are soft. We are soft. You get Odell Beckham, who, you know, let's be real about it. Not only was he washed, but Odell Beckham liked the life, the South Florida life. And you always got to be worried about the people who want to be here because they want to be part of the South Florida life.
So who's that on? I agree with all these things, but who's that on when you decide, by the way, as Poyer's up there telling the Bills how great it is and how bad it was down here, maybe he could mention he didn't make one friggin' play last year starting all those games.
Oh, he made one play. It just cost Miami the game against Buffalo. He made one play. It was a big old penalty, helmet to helmet, that cost the team, the victory. Listen, while you could put these teams together and you could do all the investigative work that you want to do and you spend millions of dollars on investigative work on players' personalities in the draft process, I don't think you do that in free agency, and maybe you need to, but in free agency, just keep in mind how we built this team, which was 1 year rentals and big money players and players that you traded for because they were elite talents. And let's not pretend like Jalen Ramsey wasn't an elite talent. I mean, the guy came back from a season ending knee injury in what, 5 months? You know, everybody forgets about that. They forget about the Pro Bowl season. Was he the greatest locker room guy? Probably not. Was he one of the first guys rushing out the building? Probably was. But, you know, he showed up every Sunday and he worked every Sunday. Now, also, if you want to question about the culture, then you also have to consider the fact that you're not retaining your own. You're not retaining your own homegrown players, the Rob Hunts, the Christian Wilkins, the Andrew Van Ginkles. And yes, you're not the only person in the league or only team in the league that's going through that. The prices of players is just skyrocketing right now. But when you spend all of your money on six players, don't cry about the fact that you can't retain, you know, the good players like Andrew. You act like Andrew Van Ginkel was asking for big money. That wasn't the case.
No, I let that one. I didn't even get a chance to get to that one. He said we had to let him go because he was out of the price range. And I'm like, I don't know, man. They just had to redo his contract. He was so damn good in Minnesota.
Yeah. But let's be real about it. Nobody saw Andrew Van Ginkel was going to become a elite player in the league. No, nobody here. So everybody needs to stop lying. Like, stop, please. Like, everybody liked Andrew Van Ginkel, but nobody saw Andrew Van Ginkel as an elite player. Like, he went on a free agent tour. Nobody offered him real money, and he came back here. Let's be real.
Ryan Flores knew. Hey, real quickly, real quickly on this this other stuff. So this got a lot of people. He said reset, and a lot of people take that reset like it's related to rebuild and retool and anything else you want to do. And then he's talking about still bringing, I love this roster, but we're going to continue to bring in more guys. Yeah. Well, wait a second. If you love the roster, why are you bringing in three guys or four guys yesterday? And you said there may be more coming.
There's more coming because you're not a finished product. You're not a finished roster. Like, here's the thing. Think about yesterday, Joe. You fixed four of the holes you had on your roster. And these weren't small holes. They're not tiny holes. You didn't have a kicker. You didn't have a left tackle. You didn't have any veteran in the cornerback unit. You didn't have a gunner. What else didn't you have? But everything, I mean, they basically shut it down in the offseason and said, okay, we're going to go what we got and see how it pans out.
Yeah.
And that's a reset. That's, you know, yeah, you might not be trading away players because that's a rebuild, but you're starting fresh. You're creating a new foundation of the team, and they're not done yet because, you know, as you know, it's probably going to happen next year too when you get rid of Tyreek and Bradley Chubb to create cap space.
So let me ask you this question. Chris was going through a lot of we like this and we always talk. And I mean, he was covering everything. And does Chris Greer, does he know that he could be on a hot seat?
He's not naive. He's not naive. He absolutely knows he's on the hot seat. They know. Let's be real about it. They know that Steve is frustrated, and I've never seen Steve Ross like this. I've never seen him not be golly gee super excited about a season opener, or you know, maybe 2019, because he knew what time it was. But
hey, Omar, so on top of everything else, if the frontline guys could stay healthy, it's not going to happen. Nobody has their whole roster stay healthy for 17 games. We know that. We see it every year on every team. You still feel pretty good about it? Like the front part of this roster is pretty good, right?
I say this to every Dolphins fan that asks me. If they can run the ball and protect Tua, they'll win double-digit games. The question, the problem is we don't know if they can run the ball, or we don't know if we're one injury or two injuries away from having a disaster on the offensive line. We just don't know. And, you know, Tua, the exhibition game, I had to write a scolding hot column about the fact, like, this is the best you could do as an offensive line? Seriously? You knew this was your number one problem and this is the best? Tua plays two drives and he gets crushed in two sacks on two drives. So what can we expect? A sack every other drive for Tua? Like that. So hopefully Austin Jackson comes back, stays healthy. James Daniel stays healthy. You know, Brewer stays healthy. Nothing happens. So, you know, if you have one of those Buffalo seasons, because I think Buffalo's gone like two seasons where they've had every starter on their offensive line, which is like, goodness gracious, how lucky can you be?
Right.
If you have one of those seasons, you got a chance because I think they can run the ball. I really do think they can. I see Patrick Paul out there moving people. I've seen him. Like people joke about how many bubble screens the Dolphins run. Do you know that I watch practice and the bubble screen is probably the most productive play because you got Patrick Paul, all 6'7", 340 pounds of him, running 20 yards downfield, terrorizing every defender who doesn't want any part of it. Like, it's a good play. So, you know, Dolphin fans are like, oh, yeah, we're going to bubble screen it on 3rd and 1. Oh, yeah, well.
I thought we bubble screened way too much last year. Way too much.
You too? You're part of the bubble screen?
I am part of that. Yep. Listen, sometimes, don't get me wrong, occasionally they work and we explode for a big play, but we have plays that ended up a loss. And because we can't run inside at all. And I just think
no. That's problem number one. But you put an inside run game and then the outside stretch run game with some bubble screens.
No. You mix it in. You mix it in. So the bigger thing we got to find out, and the mystery is, so last year Mike said, hey, they figure me out on our game down the field. And by the way, this last time I'm gonna say, because I said you can't say it on the show anymore, too deep. But they got it. They got to get that thing figured out with all those guys that got coordinator titles sitting around there till 10 at night, come up and drink a lot of coffee to figure out how to get those two guys on the outside to football.
Joe, just listen. I hate when people start this conversation because it's a dumb conversation. People have been playing two deep safeties for 20 years now.
No, longer than that. Before me. Before me.
You know what you got to do? You got to make them respect the run. You got to actually make those safeties have to creep up there. If you're running it 4 or 5 yards a pop, if you just average the NFL average of 4.5 yards a carry, safeties will actually say, okay, we can't take two steps back every snap. Like, but the Dolphins couldn't do that last year. Couldn't at all. Just had no, basically abandoned the run game and had to short pass like people don't realize, like, I don't understand how people don't understand the foundation of football. It's trench play, running the ball, If you could do both of those things, you have a good, solid foundation of a team.
Hey, before I let
it's not,
before
yeah, it's not about the speed and finesse and all this pretty fantasy football crap.
Well, this team was kind of built on a lot of that stuff. Now that
yeah,
team
was
built on a track meet, and we still win the track meet. If you know, I think we still win that race with what we have. Hey, last question for you, and I'll let you go. And I appreciate you. I know you're taking care of the little one today. Chris Greer's performance in 30 minutes. What'd you think? I know a lot of different things said. What'd you think overall?
He went in and he completely diffused everybody in all the areas. He's like, I signed Kendall Lamb. I got Jeff Wilson.
He looked right at you too. When he got Kendall Lamb, he looked right at you, didn't he?
Yeah. He's like, I got Kendall Lamb. Get off my back. Like, I think he did well. I'm actually was watching it right now again, trying to pick up the little nuggets of things that I might have missed.
Do me a favor though. Don't be talking about like all the things that you're seeing right now you haven't seen in the past. You've been overseeing this thing. It's not like your first year. Don't say that stuff.
Yeah, but he's got no control over that.
What do you mean? He's a general manager. You're giving him the GM hall pass.
You don't control personalities. Don't control people. You don't control who becomes your leader of the team. He has no control of that. Neither does Mike. Just to be honest with you.
Wait a sec. You know, we do background checks. We check with other people to find out what kind of teammates they were on the last team. We do college background to find out if the guy's into partying or if he was a good team dude. And all right. Anyway, hey, listen, you and I are going to always have things we disagree on or we couldn't be together.
And then when Mike says, I want OBJ, Mike gets OBJ.
No, Chris says, no, I haven't heard good things. I did my homework and no, he's done. He doesn't want to play. He only wants to build up
Chris
followers.
Personality's not like that.
Well, exactly. Don't be a GM, be a assistant head coach that just goes, yes, sir. And if that's what you want. All right. Hey, man. Thanks, Omar. I appreciate it. We'll continue this later, buddy. Thank you.
All right. Talk to you later.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long.
Rep your team. Rep your city. Rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.